Welcome to the Riverside Church Podcast. Riverside Church is a community of believers striving side by side for the gospel in the greater New Orleans area. For more information about Riverside Church, go to riversidelife.org.
Today, Luke chapter 2, verse 8 through 14 is our key text tonight, today. And so if you have a Bible, I encourage you to go ahead and turn there. Kids, I'm going to ask for your help just for a moment. So kids, if you can look up here real quick, and what I'm doing is testing your parents' parenting skills at this point, okay? So all the pressure is on your parents right now. The pressure is not on you. I want you to name this movie for me, okay? And so I'm judging your parents whether or not you've seen this movie before, especially during the Christmas season, kind of giving you some hints here. Are you ready for the quote, kids? Are you ready for this? Quote, "I think there must be something wrong with me, Linus. Christmas is coming, but I'm not happy. I don't feel the way I'm supposed to feel." There's some clues in there. Kids, anybody? What movie is that from? What do we got? A Charlie Brown Christmas. Shout out to those kids who knows what's going on. If you haven't seen that movie, I encourage you to see that movie. We watch it every Friday after Thanksgiving, after we get our Christmas tree home. We always watch A Charlie Brown Christmas. And that's Chuck, that's Charlie Brown, saying that he just can't find peace in the Christmas season. Charlie Brown is battling through the season, jaded by commercialism, and nothing seems to be going right, including his pathetic little Christmas tree that he would hope would bring some Christmas cheer, and everything seems to be turning into a disaster. And so you remember this, that he is unsettled, he is restless, and just can't seem to find peace. And I think you would agree with me here that I suspect that's a little bit of us, that Christmas is a time that we look for a little bit of peace. We are hopeful for peace, whether that's through nostalgia or that's through some sort of family gathering, that perhaps this year everything is just going to go right. There is something in the Christmas season that has us hopeful and waiting that perhaps this year will be the year that we experience the peace that we long for. But we know that peace seems to be elusive. It's hard to get our hands around it. We often feel like Charlie Brown, that no matter what Christmas tree, no matter how many lights or decorations or presents, it just doesn't seem to be lasting. And sometimes peace is especially hard during this time of year because it's a difficult season, as you find yourself alone or find yourself struggling with things that have happened in the past year. And it can be a very difficult time to find peace. But in this season, we are always hopeful that we will catch glimpses of peace. And so wherever you are on that spectrum this morning, I want us to take some heart from that glorious scene that Linus ends up quoting in the Charlie Brown Christmas, in that pivotal scene where Charlie finally gets the meaning of Christmas and his soul finds some peace. And so I want us to look at Luke chapter 2, verse 18 through 14, that famous and glorious scene, that night of all nights when the shepherds were about their ordinary business. Maybe you're about your ordinary business today and you've showed up to church, and maybe like the shepherds, it's kind of like the heavens will open up and you'll hear this good news of great joy and find peace in your soul, maybe even for the first time this morning. So that's what I want us to reflect upon this morning, that Jesus has come to us and Jesus is our peace. And we hear this in the good news of great joy that will be for all people. Just like we did with hope last week, I think we need to stop for a second before we go any farther and talk about what is peace, and at least get an idea of what peace is so we have our term straight, much like we did with hope. So what does the Bible talk about peace? And so certainly we could describe peace as an absence of conflict, a ceasing of conflict. If there is anything I remember about history class in seventh grade, talking about World War I, it was trench warfare. And there's this famous story of the great Christmas truce of 1914 during World War I. The story goes that as Christmas Eve and Christmas Day came about, that enemy soldiers began to climb nervously out of their trenches to meet in the barbed-wired filled no man's land that separated the armies. Normally, the British and Germans communicated across no man's lands with streaking bullets, with only the occasional allowance to collect the dead. But now, on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day of 1914, there were handshakes and words of kindness, and some letters home describe it as there was Christmas carols that were being sung, that for a moment there was a ceasefire, for the moment there was peace, for a moment there was a lack of conflict as soldiers traded songs, tobacco, wine, and joined in spontaneous holiday merriment in the cold night in the winter of 1914 during World War I. One soldier wrote home that says that there wasn't an atom of hate among the soldiers as they celebrated the Christmas season together. One other soldier even wrote home and said, "You would not believe that right now I'm smoking German tobacco, and it comes from a real live living German soldier. In other words, I didn't kill him and steal his tobacco, or I'm not a prisoner of war." Like, there is this general peace that is among us. And so for that moment, we could say, yes, that was peace. It was absent of conflict. But even for that, you know that when December 27th came along for them, all bets were off. But when the Bible talks about peace, so kind of getting our terms straight here, it talks about a peace that is much more fulsome than that. Oftentimes when the Bible talks about peace, you've heard this term before, is shalom. Shalom is not just the lack of something or the lack of conflict. Yes, it does include that. We see that in the new heavens and the new earth. There's this lack of chaos. There's these crystal seas. Everything is calm and bright. But not only is there a lack of something or an absence of something, there is also a presence of something. And so when the Bible talks about peace, it talks about flourishing and well-being and wholeness, that things are working as they ought. That it's not just two people just not arguing and kind of with the silent treatment and a long ride home, but it's people that are working together and bustling and accomplishing something, that things are working as they ought to work. It's what we saw in the Garden of Eden. It's what we see from the beginning of time, that there was peace, there was this absence of chaos, but there was flourishing, the presence of flourishing, particularly in the presence of the Lord. That Adam and Eve walked in the cool of the day in the Lord, they enjoyed fellowship with the Lord, they enjoyed the safety and prosperity, the intactness, the security, safety, satisfaction, and contentment, a peace that we might describe as passing understanding that we still long for to this day. And so when the Bible talks about peace, when these angels come announcing peace on earth, we're not just talking about the absence of conflict, though it is that. We're talking about the presence of the Lord. We're talking about the presence of flourishing in the presence of the Lord, where all fear is alleviated, where all security is experiencing, where we are made to flourish as we are designed to, as image bearers of the Lord. And so when we talk about peace, we're talking about the presence of the Lord, and in His presence, the presence of flourishing as we were designed to flourish, namely to enjoy Him and to glorify Him forever. So what happened to peace? I told you about the Garden of Eden. I told you that we've experienced this, at least in humankind, that in the Garden of Eden, we see that this peace, this shalom that we enjoyed, all crumbled through Adam, because through Adam, Romans chapter 5 tells us, sin entered the world, and through that, sin and death was spread to all of mankind. So how did this happen? It was a lack of trust. The Lord had told Adam and Eve to eat of any tree of the garden, but not that tree, and do you remember what they did? They didn't trust the Lord. They decided to be self-reliant. They decided that they were wiser than God, that they were smarter than God, that they had better ways than God, that God's ways were not going to lead to flourishing and peace and prosperity and security. And so they took matters into their own hands, and through a lack of faith, they distrusted the Lord. And today we even see that with us, don't we? that we are no better than that, that even today we find ourselves lacking peace, namely because, and we're going to get to this in a little bit later, because we distrust the Lord. We don't trust His way, we don't trust His presence, and don't trust His purposes, and we rebel against Him either through outright self-reliance, or we might even rebel through religion by trying to be good enough in order that we might please the Lord and find peace through our own religiosity. And so, with self-reliance, sin entered the world and peace began to crumble. You remember what happened to Adam and Eve when the Lord's presence was among them? What did they do? They ran and hid from the Lord. They feared His presence now that they knew themselves to be sinners and rebels against a holy God. What happened at that point is that they became enemies of God. The peace that they once enjoyed with God because they were sinners, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were enemies of God, Christ died for us, that we ourselves find ourselves born with enmity between us and the Lord. Do you remember what happened when the Lord expelled them from the garden, that there was a flaming sword put at the entrance of the garden, signifying that the way back into the presence of the Lord and enjoying the presence of the Lord once again would cost them their lives? There was no way back into the presence of the Lord unless you could die and live to tell about it. That's what they needed. They needed someone to pass through the sword of death to usher humankind back into His presence so that we could experience peace again. That's where humanity finds themselves. We were enemies of God, and through Adam, death spread to all mankind, so we were enemies, estranged from God. So not only were we enemies, but we became estranged from God, and you know this when you experience estrangement in a relationship. And not only are you now not at peace with one another, but perhaps if you experienced this before with another person, the other person kind of starts to annoy you and you really just don't like them anymore. That's what happens between us and God, that we start to despise His holiness, start to despise His word, and start to despise His ways. And that's where we found ourselves as enemies of God. And therefore, these hostilities led to a lack of peace with each other. Adam and Eve began to blame one another. The woman made me do it. He made me do it. The serpent made me do it. No one would take responsibility for their own actions, and they just threw each other underneath the bus. So what happened to peace? Sin happened to peace. Our rebellion happened to peace. Our estrangement needs to be reconciled, that we have a sin problem. That's what happened to peace. And we are in a situation where we can't find peace in and of ourselves because we are broken, that we need peace to come to us. We need God to come to us. We can't solve our problem. God must come to us, and God must come for us in order to bring us peace. And the prophet said that day was coming. Micah chapter 5, we read it a second ago. He said, that day is coming, that from Bethlehem, from this little, tiny, quiet town of Bethlehem, will come a Messiah, and He Himself will bring you peace. And He will be the one who is from Ancient of Days. He will be God Himself. There was a promise given to humanity. That's good in and of itself, that God could have just been done with us, right? And could have just written us off. But in His great love for us, He meets our sin. He meets our rebellion with a promise. And He says, I will come to you, and I myself will be your peace. And so, in that quiet town of Bethlehem, shepherds were keeping watch over their flocks by night, and when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman. Verse 9, And the angel of the Lord stood before these shepherds. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. So let's talk about the announcement. When the fullness of time has come, heaven now opens up, and this angel makes the glorious announcement. It's time, it's time, it's time. It's time for the Messiah to come. The Messiah is here. And do you hear what's going on here? We see this lack of peace, don't we? The glory of the Lord shone around them. And those that have seen the Charlie Brown Christmas, this is where Linus steps in, and this is where he begins to quote this line that brings peace to Charlie and bring peace to you this morning. He says that the glory of the Lord shone around them, and what happened? They were terrified. A sinner in the presence of a holy God is a terrifying thing. Because as we saw in the garden with the flaming swords guarding the presence of the Lord, as the people saw in the tabernacle and the temple that without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins, that they couldn't go into the most holy place and live to tell about it unless someone died in their place. As the glory of the Lord shone around them, they were terrified. And so it would be for us, we would be no different. We wouldn't look at that moment and say, wow, look at those Christmas lights. They really shining. What is that? We would be fully aware that that was the glory of God and we were sinners deserving of the just wrath of God. That's what we would have understood at that point, just like these shepherds. But, do you see what the angel says? God meets sinners, even shepherds, these lowly sinners, and says, don't be afraid. Fear not. Fear not. I bring you good news of great joy that's for all people, even you sitting in this room today, that I bring you good news. So fear not, the angels say, but you see what they say, but look. Now, that's how the Bible that I'm reading translates that look, but I think the ESV gets it a whole lot better because I love when they translate it like this, and maybe your translation say that, not just look, but he says, here's what the angel says, fear not, but behold. Now, if you say to someone, hey, look over there, or you say to someone, behold, what sounds more glorious? Behold. And so this is what the angels are saying. They're saying, look, set your gaze, set your mind. This is beautiful. You don't go to the Grand Canyon. You might say something like that. Hey, look at that. You stand on the rim and you say, behold, that's glorious. That's unbelievable. That there is good news for sinners, and that's exactly what the angels are telling us. And that's exactly what the angels are telling you this morning. You who are sinners, the Bible says, enemies of God, not at peace with God, fear not. But would you look at this? Behold, I bring you, do you see it here? Good news of great joy that will be for all people. To say it maybe a little more clunky, the angels are saying, don't be afraid, but behold, I gospel you great joy. I bring you gospel of great joy. They're saying this is the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's good news of great joy for all people. So behold, the gospel. There's hope for peace with God. And so as this dark night sky is lit up, it says, though the night is being exorcised from darkness by the light of glory. And it is. Our dark, cold, sinful world, our dark, cold, sinful hearts are being exorcised from darkness by the light of the glory beheld in the face of Jesus Christ. and it's scattering all night away. The Bible says in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was with God in the beginning. He was light of light and true light of true light, casting all darkness away, and darkness will not and cannot and never will overcome him. So the night sky lights up, and they say, don't be afraid. Here's the announcement before I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. So what is the good news of great joy for all people that will scatter night away? Do you see it in verse 11? We're still in the announcements here. Today in the city of David, Micah 5, Bethlehem, peace, this little town, the Ancient of Days is born, the Savior. For his name is Jesus. He will save you from your sins. That's what he came to do. Not necessarily to bring peace in the government way, in the political way, but to save you. That's your biggest need. Our biggest need is not in elections and in politics. Our biggest need is for peace. The only way to peace is peace with God. And good news, your Savior was born. And some of you maybe need to start there today, that you need to be saved. He's the Messiah. He's the chosen one. He's God's anointed one. He is the only one that can save. This is God's man for the job. This is the Messiah, and he is Lord. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail incarnate deity. He is the Lord of heaven and earth, made flesh to dwell among you. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped tightly in cloth and lying in a manger. He's not going to be in the glorious palaces of neurotic and full of himself Herod of the day. He's going to be in a lonely manger. He's coming for the least of these. He's coming to experience everything that we've experienced, to live a life that we could not live, and to die a death that we deserve. He is coming in humble circumstances. He's the Christ for all people. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord, and this will be a sign for you. You will find the baby wrapped tightly in cloth and lying in a manger. And suddenly the Bible says, and so here's the announcement of this good news. I'm gospeling to you good news of great joy that will be for all people, the glory not just for the shepherds, but for all people. Do you hear what heaven breaks for? So this one angel is making this announcement, then all of a sudden the sky lights up like never before. The glory of the Lord shines around them suddenly. Do you see it in verse 13? Follow with me here. There is a multitude of heavenly host. If they weren't scared from the one, they had to be beside themselves, to say the least. But they've been told to fear not. But listen to this. Behold this. The angel praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. God is glorified, and peace on earth to the people on whom his favor rest. Peace on earth and mercy mild. Here's what the angels are saying, that God and sinners are reconciled. Peace on earth. That day in the city of David, you, for all people, can have peace on this earth, in this life. Peace on earth to people on whom his favor rests. So there's the announcement. Here's what the good news of great joy for all people, a Savior is born. Here's what this Savior is going to do in verse 14. He is going to make peace for us. Glory to God in the highest, on earth, peace. You have a Savior, a Messiah, Lord, born in a lowly manger on this day in Bethlehem, who himself, Micah chapter 5, will be your peace. That the Savior was born, so now we're talking about Jesus being our peace, that Jesus wasn't just coming to attempt to bring peace. He was coming to accomplish peace. We can remember Isaiah chapter 9, the famous passage that, you know, Isaiah chapter 9 talking about the coming of the Messiah. Where Isaiah was talking about, you remember this passage, he is a wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. You remember that? That the Lord would come and not just attempt peace, but he would accomplish peace, that he is the Prince of Peace. Now, we're starting to get hints of how this peace will be accomplished. It's going to be accomplished by Christ and Christ alone. He's coming in a lowly manger, and so he's the Prince of Peace. But I've been particularly overwhelmed this week with what comes before that in Isaiah chapter 9 as Jesus being the Prince of Peace. That this peace is not going to come. So going back, we talked about before, it's trust. He's going to bring peace for those who trust him, for those on whom his favor rests, on those with whom he is pleased. How do we please God? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Who are those who are pleasing to God? Are those who trust him? Who are those ones who experience the peace of God? Are those who trust him? Trust him to do what? To make peace. How is he going to make peace? And in Isaiah chapter 9, Isaiah says something like this. It's going to be like the day of Midian. Hey, kids, how many do you remember Gideon from the Old Testament? Do you remember Gideon from Judges? Do you remember that? He puts the fleece out and the Lord whittles down his army to some 300 men. And so the Lord says, when the Lord accomplishes peace for us, it's going to be like on the day of Midian. And do you remember on the day of Midian that Gideon and his army, 300, did not stand a chance? Like the army of Midian was too much for them. There was no way in their own power that they would ever be at peace with a powerhouse like that. Isaiah chapter 9, the Lord says, take your garments of war, take your swords and all those things and throw them in the fire, because you're not going to need them. You're not going to have to bring peace to yourself. Someone else is going to battle for you, just like in the day of Midian. And do you remember what happened in the day of Midian, that the Lord confused the armies and they turned upon themselves and destroyed themselves, and using their own weapons, Gideon and his army found peace through the power of God overcoming their enemies by nothing that they did. And God said, I want you to know this because I've whittled you down to so little. And so the Lord says, this is how our peace will come. Hebrews chapter 2 says, he took on flesh in order to die. He uses the last great enemy of the devil is death itself in order to accomplish salvation for us. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 2 that he took on flesh in order to die so that through his death he might defeat death for all who trust in him. He took this great scheme of the enemy and turned it on its head, and through his death defeated death once and for all so that we could enjoy peace with God, and that we would not have to die. Put your swords away. He is saying, peace, I will go to battle for you. In fact, that's the reason I've come, to take on flesh, to live the life you could not live, and to die the death that you deserve, so that through death I might defeat death for those that are enslaved to death and fearful of death, so that you might have life and once again go back into my presence and enjoy the peace with God that you were meant to enjoy. While we were yet sinners and enemies of God, he went to the cross for us and rose again victoriously. He will provide peace through his sacrifice, the death that we deserve. He will provide peace through reconciliation. He will bring us near to God. He will provide peace through defeating death, freeing us never to die again. Peace through his eternal reign, that he rose again. He's ascended to the right hand of the Father. He will come back to judge the living and dead and rule and reign forever and ever. And of his kingdom, Isaiah chapter 9, there will be no end to his peace. That's where you're going. Peace for all of those who trust him. And so if there's a message here this Christmas season that will set our hearts at ease and cause our hearts not to be troubled, that Jesus makes peace as we just saw, but Jesus is our peace for all of those who trust him. Romans chapter 5, don't believe me, believe the scripture. Therefore, having been justified by faith. And as I was preparing a kid for baptism for last week, they said, what does it mean to have faith? It means to trust the Lord. To turn from sin and to have faith, to trust in the Lord, to repent and believe, to turn and trust. And have you trusted in the Lord? He's not saying here, can I find the favor of the Lord? The Bible is clear. Put your swords away. Put your religion away. Put your performance away. Put all of that away. That will not have you find favor with the Lord. Favor means grace. Unmerited, merited by Christ, given freely to us. Put your faith and trust in his merit so that when the glory of the Lord shines again, when he comes back and we behold him, we will not be terrified, but we will become like him, for we shall see him as he is, that his glory is not something to fear, but his glory is now our good because he has made peace through the blood of his cross, Colossians chapter 1, verse 19. So therefore, wherever you are this Christmas season, let's land here. Have you trusted him? It's a big question. Are you trusting him? Are you continuing to trust his work for you, continuing to walk in this grace in which we stand? And if you do, whatever this life brings, fear not. Good news of great joy for all people. Maybe you've noticed this before. We're going to land here on the Charlie Brown Christmas again. Maybe, kids, have you noticed this before? That when Linus steps to center stage, there's an article written about this back in 2016. When Linus steps to center stage and begins to tell Charlie Brown the true meaning of Christmas that will still his heart, bring peace, and fear not, do you notice that when he's telling the story, Linus is holding his blanket? You have Pigpen, who's always stinky, and then you have Charlie, they all have their little things, and Linus has his blanket, his security, that thing he's holding on to, that thing he trusts to bring him peace and security and comfort and shalom. And he's hardly ever seen without that blanket. And do you notice, I think Charles Schulz did this on purpose, that when he steps to center stage and he quotes Luke 2, 8 through 14, and he talks about the shepherds were keeping watch in their fields with the flocks by night, and behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. They were sore afraid, but the angel said to them, "Fear not." It's that moment that Linus, watch this again this evening, he drops his blanket. He drops the very thing that he had been clinging to for security and comfort, and all of a sudden, he's, behold, look, there's good news, great joy for all people. I can drop this thing that I'm clinging to. I can drop the blanket because I'm forgiven, my debts and paid, my identity and my future is secure. I'm trusting the one who came for me, that peace comes through the Lord Jesus Christ, and you can drop all of your insecurities. You can drop all of those things that you're clinging to that will hopefully bring you peace and comfort. And look to the Lord and say, "Fear not. There's good news of great joy for all people. For unto us is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And he himself will be our peace. He's given for us. And behold, he's born in a manger. And then all of a heaven broke loose. Glory to God. Peace on earth. Here, now, for all who trust him." Have you trusted him? If not, would you trust him today? And drop the blanket, drop your insecurity, and would you behold him and be transformed today? Let's pray. Father,